chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. This is the word of the Lord. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. They recognized that they had been with Jesus, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For thus a notable sign has been performed through them as evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord's Day before last, we noted that the arrest of the apostles in Acts chapter 4 is patterned after the arrest of Jesus in chapter 22. Just as the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders came out against Jesus at night while he was still speaking to his disciples, so the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon the apostles at evening while they were speaking to the people. And as Jesus was seized and held in custody until the next day, so the apostles were arrested and put into custody until the next day. And as Jesus was brought before the assembly of the elders of the people, so the apostles were brought before the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together. And as the assembly asked Jesus, "Are you the Son of God?" So they asked the apostles, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" What are we to make of this similarity between the arrest of Jesus when he was called upon to speak to the truth of who he was and the arrest of the apostles when they were called upon to speak to the truth of who Jesus is? What are we meant to see in this? What are we meant to see in the suffering of the apostles? We are meant to see in their suffering the suffering of Christ. We are meant to see in them what it means to be united to him. We are meant to see what it means to be united to the whole Christ. For that is why the Spirit was given, that we may become like the Son, that his life may become our life. What was his life in this world? He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Here he bore our grief for us, that we might bear grief in him. Here he carried our sorrows for us, that we might carry sorrow in him. In the arrest of the apostles, we see the beginnings of their conformity to the image of Christ, as their very lives are conformed to his life, as they share not only in his glory, but also in his suffering. And we call it the beginning of their conformity, for though they here share in his being bound, they have not yet shared in his being beaten, or in his being scourged, or in his being put to death. But they will. They will. Some of them will be beaten, and some of them will be scourged, and some of them will be put to death. We are to see in the suffering of the apostles the suffering of Christ. We are to see in the suffering of the church the suffering of Christ. For as his Spirit rests upon her, she is united to the whole of who he is. The Christ became perfect through suffering, and so must she. The church also must become perfect through suffering. And though not every individual member of the body suffers in the same way, it is still the body that suffers. When a member of the body suffers, it is the whole body that suffers. And so when a member of the church suffers, it is the whole church that suffers. The life of Christ in this world was marked by suffering. And so the life of the church in this world will be marked by the same. The shape of his life in this world was the shape of the cross. So the shape of our life in this world must be the same. If we would learn to live, we must learn to die. If we would be clothed in glory, we must learn to carry the cross. To be great in the kingdom of God, and you must become a servant in the church of Christ. For it is not the one who makes himself ruler of all who is great in the kingdom of heaven. The one who becomes a servant of all, he is great. For the one who became the servant of all has now been highly exalted over all. If we would be exalted with him, we must share in his lowliness. If we would rule with him, we must learn his gentleness. For this one who rules with a rod of iron is the same one who a bruised reed will not break. In Acts chapter 4, verse 11, the apostle Peter speaks of Jesus as the stone that was rejected. And here he is quoting from the Old Testament. He is quoting from the Psalms. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Peter identifies Jesus as the stone that was rejected. He identifies the rulers of Israel as the builders who rejected him. If we would appreciate all that Peter is here saying, it may be helpful to consider another place in the Old Testament, to consider something that we find in the book of Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 4, the prophet Zechariah sees a vision regarding Zerubbabel and the building of the temple. Zerubbabel was a ruler from the house of David, who lived after the destruction of the temple and during the time of its rebuilding. And in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power,
but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. He shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also complete it. In Zechariah chapter 4, the prophet sees a vision of Zerubbabel completing the temple of the Lord. He sees a vision of Zerubbabel laying the top stone, or the head cornerstone. And we are told that this would come to pass not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, by the Spirit of the Lord. And in that vision, the prophet sees Zerubbabel surrounded by shouts of grace. Grace. Grace to it. Luke chapter 4. In the genealogy of Christ, we learn that Jesus was himself descended from Zerubbabel. But the temple he came to build, it would not be built by might or power, nor could it be built with human hands. Temple he came to build could only be built by the Spirit. And the stone which he came to lay, he did not carry in his hands, but in his body, but in his flesh. For he himself was that stone. Yet he was not surrounded with shouts of grace. Not one of the builders cried out, "Grace, grace to him." Instead, he was brought forward amid shouts of cursing. Crucify. Crucify him. And he died as one rejected. Truly, he was the stone that the builders rejected. By his resurrection from the dead, he has become the cornerstone. And the host of heaven cries, "Grace, grace to him." And highly exalted, he has poured out his Spirit upon the church. And with the pouring out of his Spirit upon the church, the temple of the Lord, the temple that Zechariah saw, it may be found in his body. And as we become members of his body, we become living stones in his temple.
as the Apostle Peter elsewhere teaches. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But if the cornerstone of this house was rejected by men, what should we expect of those living stones that are built upon him and built beneath him? What should we expect of the living stones that are united to him? What else should we expect but that they too will be rejected by men? And this is the very thing that we find in Acts chapter 4. As the same rulers of Israel who rejected the Christ now reject those who belong to him. And as they once threatened him, they now threaten them. But in him, the apostles find strength. In him, the church finds strength. For the threats of men no longer threaten Christ. For though they once laid their hands upon him, he has been raised to an indestructible life. Their threats are not able to harm them. And so they threaten in vain. And though the church may still suffer at their hands, the Spirit of Christ rests upon her. The Spirit of Christ fills her, and the Spirit assures her that his life is her life. But where he is, she will be. In Acts chapter 4, we find the apostles sharing in the suffering of Christ. But that is not all that we find. For as we said before, united to him, they are conformed to the whole of him. And so we see in them not only his suffering, but also his grace. His words become their words. His testimony becomes their testimony. His strength becomes their strength. his endurance becomes their endurance.
Having been charged not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, the apostles answer, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Even as Christ spoke of what he had seen, of what he had heard, so also now the apostles speak of what they had seen, of what they had heard. As Christ is the truth, so the apostles bind themselves to the truth. They bear witness to him, and so they speak the truth. For their testimony did not depend upon man, but upon Christ. Their word did not depend upon what man wants, but upon who Christ is. And so it is with the testimony of the church, bound to Christ. She is bound to the truth. Her testimony is the testimony handed down to her by the apostles, which is the testimony that they themselves received from Christ. His testimony is their testimony, and their testimony is our testimony. The witness of the church does not depend upon man, does not depend upon what man wants, but upon who Christ is. Bound to him, she is bound to the truth. And whether threatened by the rulers of this world, or even by the rulers of the church, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. It is hard to speak the truth when others desire to hear lies. It is hard to remain steadfast in the face of rejection. But whatever the cost, we are called to remain true to Christ. We are called to hold fast to the stone rejected by men. For that stone, in the sight of God, is chosen and precious. And here then is our comfort. United to him, though you find yourselves surrounded by shouts of cursing, the resurrected Christ surrounds you with shouts of grace.
However
you may be rejected by men, the sight of God, you are chosen and precious. This is the Lord's doing. May it be marvelous in your eyes. Amen.